This is Brian Wampler with another episode of the Chasing Tone Podcast, the podcast about guitars, amps, effects, as well as a healthy dose of interesting off-topic discussions. Joining me today back again is Blake Weiland from the guitar-centered podcast called The Tone Mob, and Richard Oliver, Wampler's own quote-unquote man of many hats, longtime tone chaser, and oftentimes the voice of the words that you read on our social media. Hey, guys.
Yo.
Hello.
This is awkward.
I know. Usually we're just like, going. And like,
you're probably wondering why I brought you guys here today.
Yeah, are we fired? What's going on?
Well, you need to have a talk.
I guess I need
Can
to
you fire me
first.
Twice, Brian? I don't know.
You would have to suck quite a bit for someone to fire you and then be like, you know what? I changed my mind. Rehire you. Only so they could fire you again. I'm sure someone's done that to me in my past because I was a pretty bad employee.
Let me tell you, I know of a pedal company that has done that a bunch of times. Not Wampler Pedals, but a different pedal company that has done that a bunch of times with a particular individual. And that is all I'm going to say about that. I think they're at 5 firing/rehirings now.
Well, but there's also other times, though, where that person is so valuable that you're like, oh, I hate like these things about this person, but I got to have this person in my life because they're so good.
That's probably how people feel about this podcast.
maybe at least part of that. I don't know.
Like, man, I hate these guys, but once in a while, I do pick something up from them.
Hey, speaking of virtual NAMM.
Yeah. Epiphone.
Smooth again. I like it. You've been practicing.
Oh, so I was looking at this week and I'm like, I wonder how NAMM went since of course it was online or whatever. I didn't
Believe
participate.
In music? Isn't that what they were calling it?
Yeah. I didn't really see anyone in the guitar pedal community talking about it at all.
I got an email from NAMM because I'm on the media side of things. I got an email from NAMM. I saw Red Panda did something with them, and that's the only one from the pedal world that I know of that did anything. Not saying that there wasn't more, but that's the only one I saw.
Well, I saw Walrus was on the list of vendors or whatever, but I didn't see any of the footage at all. So I don't know how it went. No one I've talked to even paid attention to it. I mean, you know, we've talked about these virtual online events before, the kind of snooze fests, you know, I mean, it just doesn't seem like an organic thing to do.
It's a totally different experience, isn't it? So it's so hard to translate that to some website somewhere.
Yeah. It's like some weird Facebook Live type of thing.
Yeah, and I don't hang around for many Facebook Lives for longer than sort of 2 minutes unless they're really, really good. So
I do. I just like to hang out, at the beginning, just so I hear them call people's names. That's so entertaining. Whenever it's just 5 minutes of people saying, "Oh hi Bob," "Oh hey Karen," "Oh hi Josh," you're like, I get it. But get on with the freaking ass subject. My gosh, man. I just want to see someone breadboard this dude scraper.
I'd just like to say hello to Karen and Josh, if you are listening. Apologies for Brian's rudeness again. He can't help it. He's been doing flooring for a week. He's tired.
His knees are giving out. He's done.
I'm pretty much a professional carpenter again at this point. I'm just saying.
Carpenter by day. Circuit impresario by night, right?
Or an electrician, as some on the app store have called me.
Yes.
Not an electrician, by the way.
Yeah. Well, you're a good electrician and a terrible podcaster. That's what they say about you, Brian.
I would say neither of those.
I am a terrible electrician. I went to put in a bath fan this week and I've caused half the plugs in my house to not work. So that's fun. Brian, what? I need you to come over and help me.
How did you do that? That's special.
I honestly have no idea. I put it in exactly as it was. And I know that my house is from the 70s and it was wired by some drunk electrician. And there's things that are tied together that definitely should not be. But I think there's something wrong with with the fan itself, because it is everything is just, it was take out the old, put in the new, put things exactly how they were, and all of a sudden things aren't working. So
did you use a buffer?
I used a metal zone in in one of the legs. I don't know if that's a problem or not, but
the true bypass wrong. Switch.
It was ultimate bypass.
Ultimate bypass switch.
Did you take the battery out first?
But yeah, anyway, nobody cares about that. What were we going to talk about? You've been messing with a distortion recently, Brian?
I have, yes. So occasionally I will take on side projects for companies if the money is good and if the project is interesting. And this particular project was fairly interesting, and I hope it pays good.
We'll find
we'll
out.
See. We'll find out if it does, but it was interesting. So that's what I've been doing since about this time yesterday. So I've got a lot of time in it so far. And the process for like coming up with an overdrive, this specifically is kind of based around amplifiers. And it's unique. It's a unique process, but it's fun. It's fun to take things apart and, you know, plug the old pink noise generator into it and see what it's doing.
So is that where you start analyzing the sound through your pink noise generator or what?
That's one step. I mean, I'm analyzing it. I'm using a program called Spice that you basically draw out the schematic, and then it kind of tells you like mathematically what's going on. So you can kind of see like EQ curves, how much gain stuff has, that sort of thing with the software. So it basically at that point, you're just doing research. You know, you're trying to say, why does this particular circuit sound the way it does? And what are some methods I could use to get a pedal that will be similar to it?
But for those that don't know, can you explain pink noise?
Yes. So pink noise,
it's different to Pink Floyd, right?
It's kind of like Pink Floyd, but different.
Don't.
And they're both noise. they're both pink, I guess. No, so there's different types of noise. Without getting too technical, pink noise is a very consistent, like if you heard the term white noise is mostly, it doesn't have a lot of bass content in it. Pink noise is pretty flat as far as the frequency spectrum goes. So I usually use pink a little edged a little bit towards brown, if you want to know. And you're probably asking me, what do you mean? How are you doing that? Well, I'll tell you. There's this, I found this fancy little app called NoiseGen. You guys can see it, but the others can't see it.
Look, it's pink.
But yeah, so it's this particular one is just an app on my phone, and I can control the frequency of the noise, and then I can send it into an input of something, and then I can measure the output in comparison, and it's fun. It's just information.
When Brian held up his phone just now, it was Candy Crush Saga. There wasn't any pink noise generator at all. Don't buy into this.
It's a myth.
It's totally real. A myth. Yeah. He just looks at the amp, throws some bits in a box, and solders them together. There's no science to his process.
Make a tube screamer, and I'm like, I got it. You know what we'll do? We'll change the op amp in this one. This one needs a TLO-82. Rather than the 4558.
Game changer. Game changer.
Brand new pedal right there.
That's boom. Right.
It's done.
Stop making pedals. The pedal industry is over. We've done it.
You laugh, but there are companies that take the same basic circuit, change a few things, several companies I can think of, change just a handful of things and put a different name on it and call it something different. Oh, this one sounds like a Dumble. Oh, no, it doesn't. You change two resistors and a capacitor, ass.
Brian, you get
quite compared it to our real Dumble. We compared it to our real Dumble, and it does sound like that. And we've never, ever done anything shady in the history of our company. I wonder who I'm talking about. Never mind.
I don't know.
Awkward silence. A bell is clanging in the distance. A tumbleweed is slowly moving across the land.
I know who you're talking about. I was actually thinking of a different company, believe it or not.
Like,
there's multiple companies that do that kind of stuff. And I mean, like, I don't know. To each their own, I say.
As man of many hats, I shall put my legal hat on now, Brian, and say, stop talking. Just stop before you incriminate everyone.
Yeah. I'm not naming names. I guess it's more of a poking fun thing. It's like, I don't know, if I'm going to use the same circuit for something, I think it's cooler to put it on a switch. You know, just make those changes on a switch. Don't make a different pedal out of it. I don't know. That's me, though.
You do like your switches.
I like switches.
Yeah.
I like options. Some people don't like that. I've noticed, well, more specifically on the, guitar pedals group or whatever on Facebook. It seems like there's several users that just like the good old three knob pedals.
I mean, it makes sense. I have a spot in my heart for all of the configurations. I like lots of knobs. I like one knob. I like no knobs. I like pedals, so I don't discriminate when it comes to knob count.
I kind of go for the
options.
Yeah, I like options. I go for the value for money approach. I think if I've got options, then I may just end up with the sort of vanilla settings, but at least I've got the options, and I actually, that really does appeal to me, which does actually remind me of the question we were talking about earlier. Something we get a huge amount through the support email and in the group is, what's the first pedal I should buy myself? I've just bought myself an amp. It's a tube amp. I've just bought myself a guitar. It's got strings. What's the first pedal I should buy myself? Now, personally, I get quite confused when people ask me that question, because I'm like, what music do you like? What sort of guitar? How big are your fingertips? I can't really tell.
To me, that's kind of like, I just got my first apartment and I'm going to the grocery store. What do I buy? Like,
right.
What sounds good? I don't know. Are you hungry for cereal or do you want some meat? You know?
I mean, we can, and we talked about this a little bit before we started recording. We can safely say that if you are truly in that position, and I'm guilty of not doing this, by the way, the first thing you should probably buy is a tuner pedal of some sort.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually put off buying a tuner pedal for quite a while. I was just like, I'll use my headstock tuner. I don't want to, that's money I could spend on another fuzz. Why would I buy a tuner pedal? And once I bought a tuner pedal, I was like, oh, this is a lot better. This is a lot easier and works much better in every way. From a kill switch to whatever, it's just
kill switch.
Buy
is
a
very
tuner
important
pedal. That's the answer, right?
Yeah. Go on, Bri.
I was just going to say, I mean, I guess if someone had limited money, then a headstock tuner's fine. But
yeah, that's
you
true.
Definitely got to have a tuner, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I ended up getting a tuner pedal because as I got older, the 20-year-old sort of Boss, I forget what number it was, but it was one of those plastic rectangular jobbies that I used to have to bend over and flip the switch on. My back just wasn't liking it. So that's when I ended up getting a pedal. So it was old age for me, but it was such a stupid thing not to get. I did see a really cool mini tuner pedal the other day. It looked about a third of the size of a regular mini pedal,
really?
Which really piqued my interest. And the switch was sort of around the tuner element. So that looked interesting. But yeah, so you've got your tuner pedal. What's pedal number two then? Yeah, see, now I foxed you.
Are we focusing more on clean tones, or are we more of a distorted player, or even more of a fuzzy player?
I think that the real answer is, well, beyond the tuner, obviously, you just have to ask yourself, like, what kind of sound do I want? Because there's a pedal for that sound out there, most likely, as it sits. And, you know, what kind of bands are you interested in? You know, there's lots of rig rundowns, you know, go look at some of those. There's a million places to start. And like, you know, there's no great answer to like what's the first pedal I should buy, because you know, you might just need a clean boost. You know, it's very personal. You know, my first pedal was a Tube Screamer, a regular TS9. Shouldn't have been my first pedal. I didn't know what I was doing with it. It didn't sound that good to me because I was using it, quote unquote, incorrectly, and like I didn't understand what I was doing with it. So I should not have bought a Tube Screamer for my first pedal. That's just what the guy at the guitar store told me I had to have.
I messed up with my first pedal. I meant to go and buy a delay pedal and I accidentally bought a chorus pedal. So that did not have the right effect. But my first real pedal that I remember buying was a Rat 2 in 1988, I think. So it would have been one of the fabled LM308 ones, which will make Brian's heckles rise.
Yeah. Yeah, the LM308's way better than LM307s, tell you what. LM307Ns, that's a totally different thing. Yep. Mm-hmm.
1988, you say?
1989, I think it was.
Oh, 89, okay.
Yeah, so I was it's one. Certainly 89, 90. I started playing the guitar around then, so memory's a little blurred. It's a long time ago, Blake.
Gotcha. It was a long time ago, because an 88 is when I was born, so.
Oh, thanks for that.
19, that's cute.
I was a cute kid. That's cute.
No, I was seeing the first time I ever played a Tube Screamer. Of course, I'd seen one in magazines, and this was before the internet, so I didn't really know anything about it. But I knew that all my favorite players had them, so it had to sound exactly like George Lynch, right? Right. So I went to the music store and plugged in a Tube Screamer into, I don't know, it was probably like a PV Classic or something, and was severely disappointed because I thought it was going to be this big, massive distortion, right? And that's just not what it does, as we all know now. But at the time, I didn't know. So I wrote it off for years until later on, till I learned what it was supposed to do.
That's something that we've talked about before with the difficulty of marketing and coming out with a quote-unquote metal pedal, because like, you know, like the Yngwie Malmsteen 250, yeah. It's a 250. Yeah. It doesn't sound like Yngwie because you're not playing his amp and stuff. So there's been a lot of different things. You know, lots of metal guys use a Tube Screamer in the front of their super high gain amps to tighten them up. And then they'll come out like Kirk Hammett had the Ghoul Screamer or whatever. And a lot of people bought that when it first came out thinking this is going to be, I know somebody who bought it thinking this is going to get me that Kirk Hammett tone. And they bought it and it's like, this sounds like Stevie Ray Vaughan. Like what's going on? You know, it's that can be tough when, you know, when marketing that stuff. I think Misha from Periphery did a good job, you know, coming out with a pedal that was more specific to his sound, and Tosin did one as well. And
yeah,
you know, I think there's a divide between like with metal pedals in particular, with what people think that they want versus what they actually want, you know, type of thing. The user wants to sound as close as they can to that person when that person might be using a Tube Screamer into a 5150.
Right. It's funny you say that. I've sort of a similar theory whenever designing pedals that are meant to sound like a particular amp, because often if a person plays, the tone that a person has of an amp is not exactly what that amp really sounds like. For example, I remember, I think it was the Black 65 I was doing? I think it was the Black 65. And it got kind of farty, you know, like, not had gas, but I mean, just loose in the bottom and that sort of thing whenever you turn the gain up. And I don't even remember who was working for. It might have been Travis or Max or somebody. And we were talking about how people probably won't like it because it does what the amp does.
Right. Right.
The amp does the same thing. You got to take the bottom out or run a Tube Screamer in front of it to tighten it up. But that's what it did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I don't know, not meaning to segue or anything.
But. No, that makes sense. Sometimes when you're coming up with the concept of something, you have to think about what people think they want versus what it actually is, which can be a challenging bit when it comes to branding and conceptualizing products and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I mean, going back to the original point about pedals, it's testament that obviously pre-COVID, if I was asked this question, I'd say go to a guitar shop and plug in 3 or 4 Boss pedals and find the Boss pedals you like, because that's where everyone starts, really, isn't it? You go out, you get your, in my case, I think it was the Turbo Distortion because my friend had one. But
ooh, the OD2 or the OD2R?
The Turbo Distortion was the...
I made two different versions of those, my dude. With a remote, one without a remote.
Already.
I'm just messing. I mean,
it was orange. It was orange. It had knobs.
Okay,
I didn't like it.
So it could be either the OD2 or the OD2R. I mean, everybody knows that. I'm just saying.
Isn't the Turbo the DS2?
Thank you, Blake.
Yeah. Turbo Overdrive? The DS2?
No, distortion, the Turbo Distortion.
Turbo Distortion.
It's a DS2.
Is that what you said was Turbo Distortion?
Yeah.
Why was I thinking Turbo Overdrive?
It very much was the DS2.
Let me think.
It does have a version with a remote, of course, and without.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Do I have that? I do have two. I have two of those. I forgot I did.
That was my baseline for all tone originally. Every tone that I had in my head came from my friend's, one of those plugged into his Laney amp.
Yeah, you can't.
Brian is pointing to a vast shelf of pedals, and something vaguely orange can be spotted in the distance. I'm not convinced, but if he says so, we'll believe him. But yeah, it's utter testament to how strong the Boss brand is that if you've got any beginner guitarists and you're not sending them to go and try out a few of those, then you're probably not doing them a good service, I would say.
I think in 2020 and 2021, Amazon Basics is the way to go. You know, just buy them all, see if you like them. Yeah. If you don't, just send them back to Amazon.
You send them back to Bezos. Here you go.
Yeah. I mean, that's $120 and you've got a 6-pedal board? That's pretty impressive, right? I'd still say the Boss would be where I started.
No, I love Boss stuff. I haven't actually even tried the Amazon stuff. But
you should.
I forget what we said. Now.
Well, they've found that Nux is involved, Nux is one of those companies that I'm like, but some of the Nux pedals are clearly like original like things that they make differently, but some of them look exactly like Joyo's, so they're kind of a confusing brand. I'm not exactly sure what's going on there, but Nux is who people have traced it back to, so it makes sense.
And they make good stuff, actually.
Yeah, they do.
For all the crap that guitar communities give for Chinese companies, I mean, there's actually some pretty killer stuff between some of those companies out there.
Yeah, yeah. They actually do have. If you get beyond the $25 Amazon pedals, that Nux and more have some pretty interesting things out. They really do. As much as it pains me to say it, but you know, it's facts. But going back to Boss real quick, it's been a while since I spent some time with my BF2, but last night I was playing my BF2 flanger and I'm like, man, this pedal is so good. It's one of the old original like silver screw, you know, made in Japan black knob versions. And it's probably like the easiest quote unquote vintage Boss pedal you can get your hands on. But it sounds... Excuse me, it sounds ridiculous. I forget how much I love the good old BF2.
I don't think I've ever owned one. That's the purple jobby, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I've got
one. Yeah, I don't think I ever had a Boss flanger. I did have a complete Boss pedal board at one point, but again, it wasn't made out of pedals that hung around for too long. So I can't really say that the flanger ever really appealed to me. I must give it a go.
The all Boss pedal board, that was that's the Prince move. He famously had the all Boss pedal board.
I mean, again, we're going back to the days of like before Facebook, before I could find any gear groups that I was that interested in. And I just bought one of the Boss, I think BCB60 plastic pedal boards, and thought, well, I may as well buy all the pedals to put on it as well. So I just went, I'll have one of those, and one of those, and just built a complete Boss pedal board. But it, I think, yeah, 1 year I gave it before I started upgrading all the bits in it. It's a great place to start. Like I say, Boss makes some fantastic pedals, but none of it really excited me. And then I discovered the reason was I had a really, really poor amp. It was nothing to do with the pedals.
Didn't work great for that Line 6 Spider, huh?
No, well, no, the Line 6 Spider was an upgrade to this. Because this was the phase where I basically, I had a Marshall AVT50, I think it was, which was an all-valve technology amp.
Yeah, but, I remember those.
Yeah, but it wasn't actually all valve technology. I'm not sure how it worked.
Yeah, I think those were partly solid state, if I remember right.
Yeah, and it was, you know, I bought it at the end of the 90s, I guess, when things hadn't really gone full boutique again. So it was a weird amp, and nothing sounded good on it. I had a vintage Fuzz Face, really did very little with that amp. The only pedal that really shone through it was a kind of big muff that I had at the time. But yeah, I soon discovered that amps were much more important than I'd considered in my equation. But yeah, you can't blame me. There was no internet people telling me what to buy. I just had to trust my gut instinct, and it was wrong. Very, very wrong. So after that, I got rid of all the gear and ended up with a Line 6 Pod XT rack, which I played through for years before I thought, you know what, I should plug in my old Laney amp. I was like, why haven't I played this little tube amp for 10 years?
So you had this Laney amp just kind of in the closet.
Still got it, yeah. I bought it again in 2000, I think. It's a 15 watt. It's got a 10 inch speaker in it, but it's tight. And it immediately sounded like, gave me that classic Marshall sound, which I was looking for, I guess. Didn't realize it. And that's what started me off down my whole journey of not playing through a Line 6 Pod XT rack.
I actually bought a new amp this morning.
You did? What?
Well, I mean, it's not anything fancy, so. But it is a little nostalgic. It is a PV Bandit from the 1990s.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good man.
Yes, sir.
Got a video coming for that feller.
That's going to be great.
It actually, that was one of the first solid state amps where I'm like, this actually doesn't really suck as bad as I would think. I mean, honestly, the distortion really in the clean channel wasn't that bad at all. I thought the speakers were a hot pile of poo in those, but with a different cabinet, man, it's actually not bad at all.
Yeah, the Bandits have had a little bit of a resurgence lately because people, I think, are coming to that same realization. You can get them for peanuts, and they look kind of cool in a 90s sort of way.
In the 90s way, yeah.
Yeah, and they're not bad.
I didn't know there was a resurgence for those.
Yeah, amongst the hipsters like myself and the rest of Portland.
Well, and Brian, it seems.
Yeah, I've been known to be a hipster, that's for sure.
He's going to start.
I was playing the PV Bandit before it was cool.
He'll be riding around his yard on a penny farthing with a roll neck jumper and a pipe before no time.
So I'm looking forward to that. Forward to getting that.
Good stuff.
And where do you get that from? From Reverb, from the Bay?
Got it from Reverb, reverb.com. No affiliation.
I'm not going to get my first amp again because I think my first amp was a Squire 10 watt.
This wasn't my first one. My first one was a Kingston 5 watt solid state amp that, I don't know, it was probably made in the 70s. It was pretty bad. It was really bad, actually.
I'm looking at my first amp right now. I can see it across the room.
What is it?
It was actually pretty decent. It was a
triple rectifier.
It was a triple rec. Makes a triple rec. First amp, no big deal.
Yeah.
No, it's a Krait XT120R, which is a 120 watt solid state amp. And honestly, the high gain distortion channel on it is awesome. It sounds really, really good. Clean channel's not bad. It's a little stiff, as you can imagine, because it's all solid state, but you can pick them up for a song and a dance, and they are ridiculously loud and could easily hang with a band. And with the pedals that are available today, you could get a lot of mileage out of it. I recommend them very much. I think they're actually pretty killer, especially for what they go for these days, for like, you know, $160 or whatever.
Yeah. I don't have that crate, but I have an even older crate, which is my G40XL.
Is that the one that's actually in a crate?
No, no, it's not that old.
Okay.
But it's right after that. And it's mid 80s, maybe late 80s. I forget. Somewhere in that area. Maybe late 80s. I think I was a freshman in high school when I got that.
What do you think about it?
It's okay. I mean, you know, it's the thing is, whenever I got it because of nostalgia. There's no reason. I just saw it on eBay or something. And I'm like, I'm going to buy that. That's cool. It's just like my old one.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got it, I'm like, I remember this sounding a lot better when I was 14.
My first decent amp was a Laney 20 watt solid state. And I just for the looks alone, I want to buy one off eBay because it had a great sort of gray and light blue color scheme, which only the 80s really could bring out in a product properly, right? But yeah, I definitely feel you on the nostalgia thing.
Part of the reason I don't get rid of anything, I'm too nostalgic for my good old teenage years. I sold my first guitar and my first amp.
Wow.
My wah pedal, I think, was one of the first really nice birthday presents my wife of 20 odd years bought me about 24 years ago, and that's still going strong. So if it works, you don't need to get a replacement if it's decent quality, right?
That's right. What wah is that?
It's just a classic Jim Dunlop Crybaby. Cut my teeth listening to Hendrix. I was like, I didn't really know what wah he used, so I was like, I'm gonna get the Jim Dunlop and I'm gonna get something sounding a bit Hendrixy, and I'm good because I can definitely play as well as Hendrix.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. Obviously. We all can.
Yeah, easily, right? I did have another interesting kind of the new world of celebrity experience this week, following on from the virtual concert. It was my daughter's birthday, and we got her a cameo greeting where we paid a small amount of money. It was about £40, so not significant, but we got a famous comedian over here anyway from a show called The Inbetweeners, which I highly recommend. And he did a quite dirty birthday greeting to my daughter, which was really funny, and we all really enjoyed it. And it made me think, wow, this is a new economy for probably not your A-listers. You're probably not going to find, you know, Brad Paisley on there, but you can certainly find a few lower level people on there. I was wondering whether you guys had seen it, and in fact whether or not Brian fancied going on it. How much do you reckon we can sell you for, Bri?
Oh, I would love to do that. That'd be great. Have you? that's just what everyone needs is me saying happy birthday and stuff. hope like you're playing.
I mean, they've used it for comedy purposes because I've seen people get Carol Baskin from Tiger King to say some fairly dodgy things and mention like British serial killers and things like that. So, you know, you can get up to all kinds of, but it's an interesting one. I mean, as I say, I think it is for a certain echelon of celebrity.
You know, I just had a capitalistic moment. Sorry to interrupt you. What if I do that, but I use that to answer questions about circuit design? instead of like happy birthday greetings, it'll be, hey, I'm just going to, I get this type of email a lot. I'm sending you my schematic. Can you tell me what I should change to turn this Fender Deluxe Reverb into a JCM-800?
$10 and the answer is yours.
Yeah. And the answer is yes, I can change the amp.
You got to do it, Bri.
I would be willing to do that.
I mean, I looked obviously you can filter the website, so you can sort by price. So I looked at the high end, and then I looked at the low end. I swear there were some people who are just on there because they thought, ha, I've got a good photo of me, I'll put it on there. I'd like never heard of them. They had no qualification. They weren't even like a YouTuber or anything. Like the YouTubers were generally the cheapest like range on there. But there was a couple of guys, I swear they were just like, ah, I'm going to give it a go. Someone might want to talk to me.
I saw Gary Busey. I saw some people got Gary Busey to do some pretty epic happy birthday messages for people. I was like, man, I would be so happy if someone got me a Gary Busey message. That would be amazing.
There's definitely a time and a place for it. My friend who I shared this information with was disgusted with me. He said that I was furthering the cult of celebrity and I should be ashamed of myself. But he's kind of a special individual from that point of view.
He sounds real fun at parties.
Right.
Oh, I think we've talked about this friend before. I'm guessing we have.
It's possible. But yeah. So you don't fancy it then, Bri? You're not going to go on there next week?
Well, I mean, for the right amount of money, you know, that's the whole thing. To be really honest, I don't think anybody wants me to tell them happy birthday. I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe my kids or something.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate.
You start charging your children for happy birthdays.
You start charging your kids happy birthdays. Yeah.
Sure. I'll tell you happy birthday. That'll be $15, please. Otherwise, no happy birthday wishes for you.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll give it a go. You know, if I get enough people emailing me saying, hey, we want your birthday greetings. Hell, why not?
I mean, who would you have if you could choose anybody, bearing in mind that they're probably not there? Who would you have say happy birthday to you?
I don't really do celebrity. Let me think. You know, I'm honestly stumped here because it's like all my heroes that I grew up with, I kind of either work with now or talk to in some shape or fashion.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Brian. Thanks.
I know. I mean, yeah, I like originally I would say like, you know, George Lynch or Brad Paisley or Steve Vai or someone like that. But things are kind of different these days. I don't really watch movies or anything. So there's not really.
It really wouldn't do much for me either. I don't think. I think for the youngsters, and particularly as we were locked down, so it was a birthday, so it made it memorable. I can see it being useful. If someone did it to me, I think I'd almost be embarrassed. I'd be like,
I don't want a birthday greeting. Just give me your credit card numbers.
Social
what about,
security
what about
information.
You, Blake?
Me, I mean, I mentioned Gary Busey would be pretty epic just because he's Gary Busey. I don't know. I don't know who's all on Cameo exactly, but there are definitely, I mean, Hulk Hogan would be amazing. You know,
that would be funny. Yeah. So there's the funny aspect too. I never even thought about. Yeah. That'd be funny.
I would love one from the Hulkster. That would be incredible. Or, you know, really a handful of wrestlers would be amazing. Ric Flair.
Are you a wrestling
getting a happy
fan?
Birthday from Ric Flair? That'd be incredible.
Are you a big fan of the wrestling?
I'm a medium fan of the wrestling. I really enjoy it. I just don't keep up with it.
Okay. So from an English point of view, that'd be a massive fan because our sizes are all different over here, right?
Okay. So. Is Jim Carrey on here? That's the question.
Jim Carrey doesn't even seem to be on social media, so I kind of doubt he's on Cameo.
Right.
But that would be great, you know. Who else would be cool?
But think about the money, right? So the dude we got, £40, maybe took him 90 seconds to record, one take. I mean, how many of those could you fit in a day? Quite a few, right? You could earn a huge amount of money in one day from it.
That's true.
And, you know, certain shows, you've got catchphrases. That's essentially all he had to do was reel off four or five catchphrases, strung them together around my daughter's name, and it sounded really cool. And it was an interesting new product, I thought. But yeah, I think I'd be embarrassed if someone did it for me. But I'm definitely getting you a wrestler, Blake, 100%.
I would love that.
I nearly called you Jake then. It's because it rhymes with Blake and because I have been talking to Jake. Yeah.
Jake the Snake Roberts. I would like one from Jake the Snake Roberts. That'd be sick. Speaking of wrestlers.
Is that a real wrestler or have you made that up to test
No, me? That's a real... You don't know Jake the Snake Roberts? Oh, man. You gotta...
The only wrestlers I know are Hulk Hogan, The Undertaker, Ric Flair because of the memes, and Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks, who you won't know. That's a little bit of humor for my English listener.
Apparently, Gary Busey is $350 for one.
$350?
I mean, that's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
I mean, everybody knows who that is. You know, that's a, you know.
Top tier is about $1,000, but
everybody knows him.
$150 more, you get Chevy Chase, though. See?
I don't want one from Chevy Chase.
I'm trying to think what. Yeah.
I'm actually surprised that Chevy Chase is on there.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I was trying to think of a diplomatic way to say that, but yeah, there you go. There's a few that are on here that I'm like, really? Times must be hard.
Or maybe times aren't hard. Maybe that's just easy money.
Maybe that's true. Maybe that's like, you know, got to make a payment on my Porsche this week or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'll do 3 cameo videos.
It's got to be less than a bit of both, though. I mean, at the moment, there can't be a huge amount of any filming, acting going on for anybody. Certainly over here, some of our soap operas are having to take breaks every now and then because they can't film enough. So, and the new James Bond movie's been pushed back 3 times now, I think. Wow. So cinema is, you know, it's an interesting industry post-COVID in this country, definitely.
I really hope my movie theaters can pull through because I love going to the theater for like something I'm really excited about. And we have some really awesome theaters around here where you can get a beer and a slice of pizza and really kick your feet up in the recliner and just really enjoy an experience. So I hope they pull
through.
Oh, we
have a great one. Yeah. We have one with like the electric recliners and they've got like a private bar at the top, all sorts of stuff. But I mean, I've probably got about 4 or 5 concerts booked for this year and I'm still thinking, nope, I'm not going to go into a crowded venue with several thousand people until I know that this disease is really, really minimal risk. And I can't see that being this year, unfortunately, in this country.
Yeah, it's hard to know.
It really is. I mean, things are as bad as they've been over here at the moment. But over there, I'm not getting that same impression. You guys seem to be pretty much doing everything as normal other than going to the cinema.
Not in Oregon.
It depends really? On the state, I think.
Yeah, depends on the state, yeah. Definitely not in Oregon.
Yeah, some areas in some states, they're like, we don't believe in the coronavirus. Like, what do you mean you don't believe in it? We don't believe it's a thing. Doesn't exist. It's fake.
It's fake. We already got our metal zone vaccination. We're fine.
Right. I don't need that 5G chip. Okay.
All right, then.
I just need a 5G signal. If they could bring that to my area, that would be nice.
That's what I'm looking for. I'll take a vaccine if you give me faster internet speed.
Yeah. The problem is every time they put one of them poles up, someone comes and burns it down. I mean, how am I supposed to get faster Call of Duty? Come on now.
And then they live stream the fact that they're burning it down via their 4G network, which is kind of interesting.
on Facebook.
Yeah.
No like, one's tracking me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did see that there was somebody who sold, they're miniature Faraday cages. I don't know whether we talked about this before, to put your mobile phones in. Mm-hmm. To block 5G signals. Guess what? They also stop phone calls from coming through.
Yes. Faraday cage will do that. Yes.
Yep, I can make you one of those too. It's called tin foil, and you can make a hat out of it too.
Yep. All right, well, you guys got anything else you want to wrap up this episode with? What'd we learn today?
I don't think we learned anything. I don't think we did anything for anyone on this episode.
We learned that Richard makes tinfoil hats on Cameo.
That sounds about right. Brian loves emails about circuit design questions.
Love it, especially when they're super, super detailed because I have nothing going on.
Blake is a wrestling obsessive and just won't admit to it.
Blake really should have got into pro wrestling at some point and ended up doing podcasting.
I would love to. That'd be fun. Except it's actually like one of the hardest things on a person's body that you could possibly do.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty rough. Even though it's quote unquote fake, it's still pretty rough physically.
It's really interesting to listen to all, like, this is a complete tangent and we're trying to wrap up, but listening to the old wrestler stories, I'm like, how are you alive? How are you still alive? It makes
morphine.
No sense.
Morphine and splints.
Basically. It's insane.
It's all due to protein powder. Don't let them fool you.
That's creatine. Not protein powder he's putting in that there, bro.
Oh, I just saw it was a white powdery substance. I didn't know.
It's protein. It's make for my muscles. So feel make my muscles grow.
Thanks for joining me, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. That goes straight to me. Email Blake. Email info@tonemob.com. And Richard is richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you like this podcast, make sure to share it with your friends and others who might like it. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is just simply to share this with a friend. Maybe leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Make sure to check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. It's a great one as well. And make sure to check out Wampler Pedals, that's our website, for blogs, videos, and of course, our little toneful gadgets, our little pedals and amplifier. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.